pastors, disciples, ministry leaders. How many visitors have you lost track of in the last year? Don't you wish there was a better way to stay in contact with people who have visited your church? Like it or not, text messages are the way people communicate today. Some stats to consider: 90% of people prefer text messages over calls. 90% of texts are read within 3 minutes. 45% of text messages get a response. We want to share a solution that our church has started using with great success. It's called Text in Church. Born out of a church plant, the Text in Church creators know what it's like to struggle to get the word out and make meaningful connections with members and guests. More than 35,000 church leaders use this platform weekly to boost attendance and deepen relationships. This is a great solution to help people connect with their churches in a simple, meaningful way. When you use the link in the show notes to create an account, you'll get an instant $100 credit toward all future services. Why not give it a try? Start a free trial using our exclusive referral link below. Text in Church is the number one texting software for churches to make your community feel known, noticed, and loved.
Welcome to the Taking the Land podcast. This is your home for daily audio sermons from Christian Fellowship Ministries. God has gifted our fellowship with some of the finest preachers in the world, and we want to share.
Fantastic. If I could have your attention, two fantastic classic sermons this morning. Both of them will change your life. Amen. Take them home, listen to them about 25 times. Scott Lamb's sermon was fantastic till he got on the Irish and basketball. And Pastor Mitchell told me I need to give you some good news. He said, Camel, give them some hope. So the good news is I'm going to beat you with a shovel and not an axe. Anyway. So appreciate each of you, every pastor, every disciple, every worker. I really do thank God for you. Amen. What a sight. What an incredible, incredible dimension of grace God has poured out upon us. Matthew 25, if you'd turn there. There's a quote, to bury your talent is to be buried alive.
Are you in need of a passport in a hurry? Look no further. Global Passport Express is here to help. With our efficient and reliable services, we can process your passport in as quick as 7 days. That's right, just 7 days. And that's not all. We specialize in visas for many countries, including popular destinations like China, India, and so much more. Whether you're planning a family vacation, a business trip, or your next mission trip, Global Passport Express is your one-stop solution for all your passport and visa needs. So why wait? Reach out to us today at 210-375-7525 to speak with one of our friendly and knowledgeable representatives. They will guide you through the process and answer any questions you may have. You can also visit our website at www.globalpassportexpress.com for more information and to start your application online. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Mention this ad and receive 10% off any of our services. Don't let time constraints hold you back from your travel dreams. Trust Global Passport Express to deliver your passport fast, hassle-free, and with a smile. Global Passport Express, your passport and visa experts. Get ready to explore the world.
The saddest of lives is the one was wasted. In Matthew 25, Jesus, his ministry on earth is closing. Matthew 26, they're going to plot the crucifixion, and of course he's aware this is coming at him. So his message in Matthew 25 begins to intensify what's critical to his disciples, to you and I. What's deceptive, what's dangerous in the last days, what's required. Matthew 24, he gives all these signs of the times, the great tribulation, the coming of the Son of Man, the fig tree. No one knows the day or the hour. Faithful, wise servants, parable of the virgins, five wise, five foolish. Then he moves into our text and the parable of the talents. And in my mind, it explodes at the conclusion with the man who buried the talent. He made a statement in verse 26, "You wicked and lazy servant." Verse 30, these words that are almost incomprehensible, "Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so one of the big questions by theologians over time, they've asked themselves and throwed this question out into the arena of the church. How could he have been so harsh with this man? So brutal. So severe, so unyielding, this man who offered to give the talent back. I want to try to answer that this morning, and in my mind, the answer is he buried more than a talent. And one of the diseases of the church in the last days is the buried talent. I want to minister this morning, he buried more than a talent. Matthew 25, verse 14 and 15, "But for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave five, to another two, to another one, to each according to his own ability. Immediately he went on a journey." Verse 24, we pick up the one talent man. "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed, and I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. To everyone who has, more will be given. He will give abundance. He will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Father, we come by your blood this morning. God, we thank you. The words we've heard last night, this morning, God, these men, I pray by the power of the Holy Ghost, God, you're moving in these last days. God, stir us, keep us. God, I pray, enlarge us, enlarge our influence in the earth, in cities and nations, among every kindred, tongue, tribe, and people. God, do a great work in these men, for they're your men. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what does it mean to be buried? What is this man doing? What's happening here? When you bury something, it means to put it away or to hide. He went and hid your talent in the ground. In other words, what's buried now is no longer available. You'll have to deal with this. End of story. I've seen people, I've witnessed them bury their marriage, bury their ministry, bury their money, their giftings. But the big question is, why did he bury this talent? Let me ask you, why would you No doubt there's men here that are in various stages of burying the talent. And one of the thoughts is, it no longer has value to me. The dedication, the life I live that made me a recipient of the talent from God has shifted. Doesn't mean that much to me. This talent is no longer my priority in life. I'm no longer willing to give myself my time, my energy, my mind. I'm no longer willing to invest my life in this talent. Pastor, you're asking too much of me. Pastor, you're too demanding. God, you're asking too much. Don't even think of asking me to use this talent for kingdom enterprise. God, don't ask me to develop it, cultivate it, and make it available to you. And so the thought that I'm going to invest this talent in God's work in the earth, it's no longer worth the effort. Why should I still be involved? Or maybe he thought it's just one talent. It's so small. And we convince ourselves it's not a big deal. It's not like I buried five or two. Why should I be committed to God, the church, fellowship, the vision, ministry? Why should I be committed with just my one talent? But the reality is, most of humanity is one talent. Why should I take my one talent and go pioneer a church? Why should I take my one talent and surrender it, invest it in ministry or a nation? My talent is insignificant. Makes no difference. Why even bother? Let me ask you, what's your talent? And I know here it's talking about money, 3,000 shekels, 75 pounds. But let me ask you, what's your gifting? What's your contribution to the kingdom, the church, the ministry? What's your ability? What qualities of life has God invested in you that you would call your talent, your words? God gave you a new mind. God gave you the ability. You can preach. You can testify. Calling. Creativity. Skills. Stability. Faithfulness. Your example. Your testimony. The talent of prayer. To witness. To build. God gave you a personality that's winsome. God has given you longevity, a good marriage. Are you going to take that and bury it? I've seen those at one time, their talent was all in for God. But because of disappointments, things didn't turn out maybe the way you expected or as you planned. Or maybe when you were first given the talent, or you would run with that talent for God, but because it didn't all play out the way you thought, now you've taken it off the table. Over time and disappointment, now you're digging a hole day by day, burying your talent inch by inch, piece by piece. And right here is one of the great heartbreaks of pastoring, and no doubt the heart of God. I've seen those, no doubt you're here, after years of experience, your talent is honed. It's sharpened. It's polished. It's developed. Now, when your talent could be most effective for God, your talent has fought battles. It survived storms. Your talent has influence in the church and in the spiritual arena of life. But at this moment, you've made a decision to bury it, hide it for God, or limit its availability to His will and His call. You have resources. You have money. You have developed ministry. You're not a novice. You know what to do and you know how to do. But you're burying the talent even as you still attend the house of God. Took your talent out of the equation. Jesus likened this perhaps to the man who lit a candle and put it under a bushel. Or he lit a lamp and put it under a bed. Can you imagine you go home tonight and the lamp in your bedroom is under the bed? You'd say, this is insane. Who did this? You'd call your wife, your kids, your mother-in-law. I mean, you'd look at this and say, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But how much dumber I don't think it happened in a minute, just like it doesn't happen with you in a minute. It's a process. But let's examine what's being buried here. And the major mistake then and now is that talent is not yours to bury. Verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave five, to another two, and another one. Your talent, your gifting, your ministry abilities, I could go on and on with the list. They are now in your possession because what Jesus deposited in you. This man knew that. He never denied that. He said, I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. And the Lord said, you ought to have deposited mine. And he talks about money. But it was his goods. It was the Lord's talent. It's not yours to bury. Your life is not yours to hide from God. Ephesians 4:8, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captives and gave gifts to men. Matthew 7:11, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who love him and ask him? You see, this gift that I would call ministry, this talent, this is a privilege. It's a privilege to have a part to play in your church. This is the deep joy of life, is to be used of God to influence and impact people, whether it's a word of encouragement, maybe it's a drama, maybe it's a band, maybe it's some, you know, maybe it's you're on a guerrilla team. It could have, maybe you teach a class or whatever it may be. You preach, you testify. Maybe it's you're an usher, you're a pillar in the church. You teach a Bible study or some marriage class, or you're involved. What a privilege. I remember when I got saved many, many, many years ago. I went to church two or three times with my wife before I got saved. And I remember looking at those people and I thought, my God, I could never do this. I could never be like this. I mean, I just looked around. I felt embarrassed to be there. I felt like any moment someone was going to walk up and say, get out of here. And to just think that the privilege of being in God's house and in His presence. First Chronicles 29:11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty, for all that is in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Verse 12, both riches and honor came from you. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. What do you have of any value that didn't come from God?
Is your church in need of a brand new flyer design? You're in the right place. We're here to help. My name is Eric Pizarro with Advanced Creative Design. We are offering all listeners of this podcast a 10% discount off their very first order. Feel free to send us an email at advancedcreativedesign23@gmail.com. Also, make sure you mention in that email that you heard us here on this podcast. Our website will be up soon, but in the meantime, we will be glad to help. God bless you all. We look forward to working with you. Make it a great day.
Many of you, your wife, you found her at church. Thank God. Right mind. Your strength, the very breath, the very life, the very food you put in your mouth. Romans 11:36, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Acts 17:28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. You ever think about life? What is your life? As I get older, I think more about life. How do you measure life at the end of the day? How do you measure your time, the moments God has given you, the breath? I believe at the end of the day, when you stand before God, what's really going to count is, of course, Jesus, love the Lord your God, all your heart, body, mind, your neighbor. It's going to be God and people. Are you wasting your life? And I know we have responsibility, but are you wasting your heart on things that at the end of the day mean nothing to life or God or eternity? How can we bury anything that belongs to God? 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, which belong to God. What does that mean to you? You see, the great tragedy, he buried more than the talent. He buried the potential, the possibilities. He buried the God factor. This is one of the heartbreaks in pastoring, as you see people bury things. And after you've pastored a few years or decades, you know in your mind, if they had simply kept that talent in the arena of kingdom business, if they had kept that talent surrendered to the will of God, the potential, the possibilities of that are unending, beyond description. I mentioned last night, I'm walking across the parking lot. Hadn't thought of this in years. I can remember pioneering years ago, late 70s, here in 28th Street. Up here, lunchtime, these kids are all out here as Mormon kids in those days, all in this part. And I'm preaching to them. I'm testifying. And they're grabbing these rotten grapefruits and oranges and lemon and just throwing them up. But look to in this same high school, look today. And I know that's not all me, but I know that's a product of men like me. Some sitting here that they didn't throw in the talent. When there was opposition, when it was difficult, when there was assaults. Because if we had of, we wouldn't have just thrown away the talent that was won. We'd have thrown away the potential. To bury your talent is to bury the undeveloped expectations, the God factor, the capabilities of your hope and faith, your life. To bury the talent is to bury the influence that has not yet crossed the horizon of your life. The impact, the productivity. There's an old poem. Of all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. For us, sweet hope lies deeply buried from human eyes. You never know what your one talent ventured for God will do. One couple launched out. One man sitting here that says, you know what? I may not be as gifted as this individual. I may not have the intelligence. I may not be able to speak. I may not have the humor. But what I do have, God, here it is. And you'll be amazed where God will take you. What He'll do. And He gets the glory. Ventured for God. Ecclesiastes 11:6. In the morning sow your seed. In the evening do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. You never know from moment to moment. To bury your talent is to bury your vision and your future. Vision has to do with future hope. Hope and faith equal vision. When you bury your talent, you bury destiny. You ever wonder why some people are old at 40? I've pastored people that they got old before their time. And the reason they did is they buried their future. Other people, I was listening to Pastor Mitchell last night, up in his 80s. And I was thinking, you know, I've never told him this, but a couple years ago, I was a little bit worried about him. He'd be preaching and he'd kind of wander around a little bit. Last night, my goodness, I thought, my Lord, God's giving him another 20 years, amen. But why is that? That's not an accident. That's by keeping your talents on the table of kingdom enterprise. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Vision is faith for the future. To bury your talent is to bury your life. The moment something or someone is buried, life ceases to exist. That's why these statistics say retirement is so deadly. People retire and they're going to live some kind of senior citizen's insanity. Amen. And they fall over dead the next month because they have no purpose. I'm interesting. Gary and Kathy Monins, you may know them. They got grandchildren in our church. Their sons in our church, and both of them involved in ministry. And Gary was pastoring Havelock, North Carolina. And he was, a couple of times he said, he's been overseas, Africa, India, various places, Malaysia. And he said, don't expect me to ever be a missionary. He said, I just don't function well over there. And he said, it just frustrates me. I listened to him. And so back some time ago, Ed and Jessica Botnicki pioneered in Guangzhou, China, built a great work there. They're coming back to the States. His wife had some severe health issues. And so I'm just talking to Gary, and I said, pray with me. Ed and Jessica, this before our conference in August, said they're going to have to come back to the States. And I'm just praying that, I want the mind of God concerning this, someone to go in there to Guangzhou, China. And I just asked him to pray and went on about my business. And it was just a few hours, maybe the next, he calls me. And he said, Pastor, Kathy and I'd like to go. I said, you what? Hey, you got grandkids, you got gray hair and it's disappearing. But it was interesting to me. He called me just a couple of days ago. It's like he got born again. I mean, the vibrance, the joy. He's talking about this. I mean, he got to. He hadn't been in a band for years, probably 30 years. He said, Pastor, you wouldn't believe it. New Year's Eve, they asked me to be in the band in church. I got to play my old guitar again. And he's just talking about all of these. It's like he came back to life. What happened? He took his talent and shoved it out on the table of God's enterprise in world evangelism. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I was recently in England preaching and run across this article. They were talking about Europe. France, as a nation, we have lost our way. About the nation of France. We have the largest Muslim population in Europe. This has changed who we are. And what opened the doors to this massive population was entitlement. We've become lazy, disconnected, dependent, because entitlement says, it is no longer a privilege to serve and labor, but you owe me. Entitlement buries the talent. I want to close. You cannot bury the talent without severe consequences. I believe this is one of the reasons Jesus was so severe when he lays out this story. You cannot bury your gifting and abilities, your influence for God. You cannot bury that without it altering how you view and perceive God. How you relate to your headship, your pastor, the fellowship. In verse 24 of our text, then he who received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. This word hard in the Greek, you're unfair. God, I know you. You're just using me. You don't care about me. You're cold. You cannot bury your talent without it altering how you view your headship. You're just taking advantage of me. It's interesting, the man with five talents or two, this was not their attitude. They're excited. They're thrilled. Now ruler over many things. See, the problem with burying your talent, you have to justify why you've done so. To live with yourself, and you've probably heard me say this, this is the great dilemma of life, is living with yourself. To living with yourself, you have to justify, unless you repent, as Pastor Greg said, unless you repent, you have to justify your decisions, the words you've spoken, your conduct, your behavior. You have to justify why you took what God gave you. And now, you're burying it. Right in the middle, maybe, of your church or your assembly. You're burying it. And the way you justify that is you find fault, you blame, you become critical. You ever notice the biggest critics in the church are those who are no longer involved? Because when you bury your talent, it affects your heart. Now, how you view God, people, headship, the church, the ministry, all of this becomes altered. And now you begin to look for purpose, satisfaction, fulfillment in all the wrong places. Some of the saddest words in the Bible. Paul speaking about Demas, this disciple, no doubt with potential. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And you never hear basically of this man again. Now that vision that was once for the talent invested in God's kingdom, now that vision, as you've pulled it off of the table, begins to be in this present world. Status of this world. Approval of this world. And you'll become carnal, materialistic, and indifferent. David, in a time kings went forth to battle, he took his talent off of the table. And hell orchestrated a strategy called Bathsheba. There's a statement, when you're not making conquest for God as men, you're tempted to make a conquest of the flesh. The moment, in my observation, you remove your talent from God, there's this powerful temptation to invest it now in the world, flesh. And these stinging words, you wicked, lazy. And then he says this, you knew. You were not ignorant. You knew. Is there a city? Is there a nation? Is there a pulpit over the horizon of your life? But it's not automatic. Fruitfulness, destiny, moments with God that will be remembered through eternity, waiting But it's totally dependent upon you keeping your talent in the will of God. Active. Involved. Pursuing destiny. I ask you to bow your head with me this morning.
Hi, I'm Mike Ashcraft, pastor currently in Van Nuys, California. You could go to just any financial professional, but not every financial professional understands the idiosyncrasies of fellowship pastors and church members. We don't need cookie cutter solutions. We need solutions for pioneers and for laborers who put God first. How can you get your money to make money for you so you don't have to work so much and so that you have more time for ministry? And how can you take care of your family in the event of a tragedy? Call me today. The consultation is no charge. I'm at 310-403-6471. That's 310-403-6471.